All right, this morning I'm going to be reading quite a few verses from the book of Romans. And you can choose to just listen, or if you want to follow, we're going to begin in Romans 3. I'll also read a few from Romans 4 and Romans 5. But as I read these verses, there's three kinds of words I want you to be listening for. I want you to be listening for the word righteousness. I want you to be listening for the word faith. I want you to be listening for the words that go along with justification or justify. So first of all, Romans 3, beginning with verse 20. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because of his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It is to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one. He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And to the one who does not work, but trust him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Verse 25. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Romans 5, verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result that for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, your word is a mighty word. And as we've read through this marvelous book, the Epistle to the Romans, time and time again, your Spirit led the Apostle Paul to tell us about your righteousness, about your justification, about faith. And Father, as we attempt to put all of that together on this Lord's Day, I pray that you'd give us clarity of speech, you'd also give us understanding, that we might go from this place absolutely with what you have done on our behalf, knowing it was a gift. So Lord, guide our time in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about your justification. That is, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have been justified by your Heavenly Father. Now, your first response this morning may be, why do you have to use such big words? Justification. Well, can't you just use some smaller words instead? No. Two answers. Sometimes we have to use very big words because they describe a very big and somewhat complicated idea. They can't be described in one small word. But secondly, in this case, it's a Bible word. So if you don't like the word, take it up with the Lord. I fear sometimes we try to make things too simple. We do then a poor job of being accurate. I think that is true with this thing called justification. We sometimes have presented it to our children this way. It's just as if I'd never sinned. Well, that might sound nice, and it certainly is simple, but there's two things I need to say. First of all, it describes the result of justification. It doesn't describe the act of justification. Secondly, that simple definition is all about us. And to be honest, we've got nothing to do with it. It's all about God. So we have to use big words. But you'll appreciate the word, Lord willing, by the time we get done. Now this morning you sit in a Baptist church, a Protestant church. You do because of an event that was fought over the idea of justification. The Protestant Reformation in the 1500s was a battle over the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Or, to use a lengthier phrase, justification is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. At stake in the battle hundreds was the biblical truth, how that we are saved. Are we saved by our works? Are we saved by grace? Are we saved by the church? Are we saved through sacraments? How is a person saved? And the battle was fought over the word justification. So, since you are recipients of that battle being won by some, it's important that you know exactly what it is. And I've broken it down into four statements on your outline this morning. So here we go. Number one, justification is an act of God on your behalf. Justification is an act of God on your behalf. It is not something you do. In fact, it is something that God does completely. Not only that, it's not something you can do, even if you wanted to. It's something that only your Heavenly Father can do. Now, for most people, justification is a surprise after they come to the Lord and are saved. It's one of those things that we learn from studying the Scriptures after we're saved, as we learn more and more about what happened when God saved me. It's something that God does on your behalf without you knowing about it. But although you did not know about it, it was absolutely imperative for you to be justified. All right? To start with, you need to see justification then as a declaration by your Heavenly Father, a declaration by God, an act of God on your behalf. It is somewhat like the declaration of an earthly judge. It was Abraham who asked the question, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And of course, the answer is yes, of course he will. So justification is the judge of all the earth declaring something about you. You might compare it a little bit to the act of what a town crier used to do back in the old days. Now, it's before any of you were alive, but a town crier would give the local law and rules coming from the king. And he would gather everybody in town, and he'd say, hear ye, listen to this declaration from your king. And he'd lay it out. Now, of course, this is not some earthly announcer when it comes to justification. This is God declaring. In other words, the one who is the source of our justification is also the one who does the declaring on your behalf. It's an act of God. Interestingly, 361 times we find in the Bible declares the Lord. Now, that's a lot of declaring. 361 times, mostly in the prophets who spoke on behalf of God. Justification is a declaration that God makes the moment he saves you. And he declares two things. First, he declares that you have been forgiven of all your sin. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at that, and I described it to you as a momentous experience. Secondly, he declares that you stand before him righteous, fully accepted by him. And that's incredible. He declares that you, whom he just saved, are now righteous in his sight and acceptable to him. We'll look at those two things in a few moments, but understand they're completely necessary. Because of that, you never ask God for forgiveness and then wonder if he ever did so. You don't ask him for forgiveness and wonder, am I standing before him forgiven of my sins? No. Justification, God declares you're forgiven. You don't have to worry whether someday a holy God will accept you into his presence. It's been taken care of by your Heavenly Father. Listen, justification guarantees forgiven, accepted. It's God's guarantee. You're forgiven, you're accepted. Almighty God has declared it so. So, an obvious logical question, how did that happen? How did that happen? Number two, justification is only possible because of the gospel. Justification is only possible because of the gospel. Now, you might say to me, Pastor Dave, you're beginning to sound like a broken record. Now, to all you young people, a record is a prehistoric piece of plastic that we used to listen to our music on. And if it was broken, it would keep skipping back and playing the same thing over and over again. And all those who've laughed the loudest know exactly what I'm talking about. Why do I say that I sound like a broken record? Because last week I told you that forgiveness is tied, connected to the gospel. And the next week I told you that redemption is tied to the gospel. Now I'm telling you justification is tied to the gospel. But that shouldn't surprise you, because our summer series is what God did when he saved you. And the Apostle Paul called the gospel that now saved you. Now you know the description of the gospel. You've heard it many times. 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." That's the gospel, the good news. Romans 5:9 that we read earlier reminded us that we are justified by his blood. That is, his shedding of blood unto death. And Romans chapter 4, verse 25 reminded us that Jesus was raised for our justification. So put it together, and we understand that justification only happens because Jesus Christ died and rose again. It happens only because of the gospel. Now, you've heard this many times, and it's kind of hard for me to stay away from it, but when Jesus was on Calvary's cross, he took in himself, upon himself, in his body, all of my sin and paid for it in full, the just and right penalty every sin deserved. And if Jesus only died just for me, that would have been a horrific penalty for him to have to pay. But he died for all of us. The sins of the world, the Bible says. Imagine what that was like. But 3 days after he died, having paid for my sins, he rose again from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated Satan. He defeated hell. And he rose again, ascended back to heaven, where every day he saves those who call upon him, a living Savior who assures our justification. Or to put it this way, a Christ who died and never rose again could not save or justify. He had to die and rise again to do that. Quite amazing, is it not? You were saved and you have been justified by an event 2,000 years ago on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And I would submit to you that that one event is the singular greatest event in the history of the world. Number one, for not only is it the greatest event in the history of the world, everything rises and falls on what happened on that weekend outside of Jerusalem. All of eternity rises and falls on the gospel. All of our life right now rises and falls on the gospel. Your life and my life, your eternity and my eternity rises or falls on the gospel story. And our justification by a holy God rises and falls on the gospel story. Statement number three. Justification happens the moment by faith God saves you. Justification happens the moment by faith God saves you. It isn't before you're saved. It doesn't happen sometime after you're saved. It happens the moment that God saves you. As we read those many scriptures this morning in Romans, I asked you to pay attention to faith words. And if you did, there was an awful lot of them, wasn't there? A lot of them. Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. To make that simple, you're saved by believing, not by what you do. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. A reminder that this is true for the whole human race. Romans 3:30, since God is one, he will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. When at the time of Paul's writing, the whole world was thought of in those two groups. And so what Romans is saying is that it's by faith for all people. And all of that should be prefaced by Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Now we say by faith, we're talking about fully trusting or believing. Believing that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Believing that he came to earth for you and for me to die and rise again for us. Believing that he alone can save you, can rescue you from your sin and from hell. And by faith, believing that, you ask him to save you and forgive you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When at some point in this life you realized that without Jesus you had no hope, that your sins were condemning you before a holy and righteous God, that your just penalty for your sins was an eternal punishment, and believing that Jesus was who he said he was, and that Jesus did what the Bible says he did. By faith, you asked him to save you and forgive you. And at that moment, when by faith you trusted Christ, he made a declaration on your behalf. You didn't hear it, but it took place. He declares you forgiven of all your sins. And he declares you stand before him righteous, fully accepted by him. And understand, this is an lasting, unchangeable declaration. Or to give you a picture, I don't think this actually happens, but it helps you to understand it. A declaration is recorded in the books of heaven, and it can never be erased. You've been justified. The moment he saved you. Now, having said all that, you might say, well, Pastor Dave, I think I've got it to this point. But what exactly happened? All right. Number four. Justification is a great exchange, all by grace. Justification is a great exchange, all by grace. Now, I'm not smart enough to come up with that wording on my own, just so you know. It has come down to me through many writings of many great Christians. But a great exchange is a great way to understand what happens in justification, exactly what happens. Now, you should understand what the word exchange means. If you travel overseas and you take a whole bunch of dollars with you, now, probably nowadays you don't do that. You just take plastic cards with you. But not too long ago, you took cash and you travel over to England and you'd want to buy something and you'd find out, I can't. Why? Because they don't accept our money. So you would go to an exchange and you'd exchange your U.S. dollars for your British pounds or whatever else they got over there. All right? You'd exchange one thing for another thing. Same thing happens when you take something back to a store. Someone gave you a piece of clothing or something, not knowing that you can't fit into it any longer. So you take it back to the store and you exchange it either for cash or for one that fits or for cash, a store credit or something like that. You understand? When you exchange something, you get rid of something and you also gain something at the same time. Now, when Jesus saved you, a great exchange took place. And this is incredible. This is beautiful. This is the heart of justification. You ready? Here we go. First, you were forgiven of all your sins. In other words, all of the sins on your account. You had an account before a holy God. All of the sins on your account were blotted out. Your account, which was black with sin, is now white with no sin. Your sin has been declared gone, removed from your account. You know, whenever I say that, an old children's song swirls around my head. And there's no way I can sing it this morning. But you may remember it. It goes, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. I get the last part. That's it. A simple song, but listen, that's what happened when God justified you. Your account before a holy God was black with sin. And the moment you trusted him to save you, he declared, they're gone. But it doesn't end there. Having emptied my account of all my sins, the Father does not leave it empty. He takes my sins, but he exchanges it for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? When Jesus Christ was on this earth, he lived a perfect, holy life. He never sinned at all. That's not new news to you. We've said it many times. We've used multiple scriptures to tell us he was without sin. He had a record of perfection when before God, complete obedience to the word of God, to the will of God, never a sinful word, never a sinful thought, never a sinful deed. Jesus Christ lived in perfect obedience, a sinless record. Now, here we go. Through the riches of God's grace, he takes the record of Jesus and he puts it on my account. Did you get that? That's quite an exchange. He took my cruddy record of all my sin and threw them away. And he took the record of Jesus and said, Dave, here you are. This is your record now. And when Jesus looks at me, he no longer sees my sin, but he sees his son in me. And he says, welcome home, David. You're accepted fully in my sight. Now, I don't know about you, but that's incredible. Almost like the big word justification, righteousness, you know, great big word. It's unbelievable. That's what my heavenly Father did for me and did for you the moment you were saved. Your sin, white, your record, white as can be, but I'm not going to leave it there. Here's the record of my son, and now that is applied to your account eternally. And someday when I call you home and you stand before me and I look at you and you look at me and say, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't deserve it, Lord. He'll say, no, you don't, but you have the record of my son. Come on in. You're accepted eternally in my presence. So, two closing questions. First, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? As you sit here this morning, as you listen online, have you trusted him to save you forever? If not, I beg you, do so today. And secondly, if you confess that you are a follower of Jesus, realizing the immensity of what Jesus did for you, are you living every moment of every day for him? Now listen, you can never pay him back for what he did for you, but the least you can do is give him your all. Just, I'll give you everything I got, Lord. I encourage you to do that for the sake of the kingdom, the sake of the gospel, for your love of a God who justified you by grace. Let's pray. Father, I love the big word. And I love what you did when you justified us. And Father, it is so far beyond anything we could ever ask for, anything we could imagine, Lord, in a million years. I would never come up with the idea of this is what God needs to do for me. Wouldn't happen. And Father, we didn't know what happened probably when it did, but you shared with us in your word what you did on our behalf for us. Unbelievable, Father, unbelievable. The righteous record of Jesus, the Son of God, on my account. Father, if that doesn't make us thrilled, there's something wrong. So I want to say thank you. I want to praise you. And I want to ask you, Lord, if there are those who don't know you yet as Lord and Savior, that today might be the day they trust Jesus. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.